This is the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 64.
But you got to touch them all the time. I think, well, you know, the sales stats are, you know, 70% of sales come from the 8th to the 12th touch.
That's right.
So you got to make sure you're constantly touching them, no matter if they're interested now or later.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, welcome, my friend. Alex Pardo here. I want to thank you. I appreciate you tuning in to another Flip Empire show here. I got Raul Balufe on the line, and Raul is actually an investor and wholesaler here, local in the South Florida market. And we've known each other for a while. And Raul, man, I want to say over the last couple of years, we've lost a little bit of touch, and we reconnected recently. I know I get your emails all the time, man. I know you're crushing in this market. And obviously you and I both know this is a pretty competitive market. There's a lot of investors and wholesalers. So yeah, man, we reconnected a couple of weeks ago, and I wanted to have you on, man, because again, I know you're doing well and you're a young guy, right? Like, how old are you right now?
23 years old.
23?
Yes, sir.
That's awesome, brother. That's awesome. Well, look, man, obviously, usually, like, and I know you've heard the show before, like, I'll get into, like, this long intro. I want to jump right into it, man, because I know that you have a lot of great content to provide. So, dude, 23 years old, when did you get started in this business, and how did you end up, like, in this business?
Right, Eric. Well, first off, thanks for having me on the show, Alex. I appreciate it, man. Yeah, like you said, we've lost touch for a little bit, but I started hearing your show. I'm like, you know what? I got to reach out to him again.
And yeah, yeah.
Maybe we can connect and I could offer some insight.
Awesome, dude.
So I started about 2.5 years ago. Pretty much, I used to sell cars for my dad. He has a dealership.
Okay.
And little by little, I started saving up some money and I bought my first rental property. It was an apartment. And after I collected my first rent check, I just knew that I wanted to do this business. I'm like, man, this is awesome. I want to learn how to buy more houses, rent them. And so, yeah, I started reading books. I started listening to Sean Terry's podcast.
Yep, yep.
And,
great podcast.
And I got a local mentor here in South Florida area. Mm-hmm. You might know him, Jim from JVD.
Yeah, yeah,
Jim Van Dyke, cool guy. So I got him as my mentor, and he started teaching me a bunch of stuff. And, you know, little by little, got one deal under contract, then another one, then another one. And, you know, now here we are.
You know, man, it's let me ask you a question. From the moment that you started in this business, you bought that rental property, to the moment you decided to hire a mentor, how long did it take you? Like, in other words, how much time passed by the time that you decided to pay somebody to mentor you?
About 2 months.
2 months. It took me about 2 years, dude. And I can't tell you how much like banging my head against the wall and the money I lost. And like, I made a lot of money those first 2 years, but I took a big hit on a property. And I remember thinking back, I'm like, people always ask me like, what's the biggest mistake you've made in this business? And it's a very cliche answer, but it's the God honest truth, is that I should have hired a mentor like right from the get-go, because I would have saved so much like stress and money.
Yeah. I encourage anyone, no matter your knowledge level or how much you think you know, if you're new in the business, in any business, get a mentor.
Yeah.
You know, if you really want to take it to the next level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, dude, that's awesome, man. 23 years old. How's life treating you? What's business look like for you today?
Good, man. I mean, our main focus is still wholesale. We average about 5 to 7 deals a month.
Okay.
We do a mix of MLS, foreclosures, auctions, and private sellers, you know, direct mail, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, man, we got an office here, got a team of 6 people, acquisitions managers, one for MLS, one for the direct mail.
Okay.
Got a sales manager, secretary, runner. Man, you know, we're doing good. The market's crazy down here in South Florida, Alex.
It's insane, dude. It's so crazy. You know, it's sometimes you want to kind of like throw up, you know, look at some of the deals, man, that you put out a couple of years ago and look at the prices of those deals that you put out versus what they're at now.
Everyone always says it, man, I wish I could have bought more. And down here, it's huge. Like, I see it. It actually happened to me 2 days ago. I started looking at my old list to see how much, like, I've changed and stuff. I'm like, man, this same house I could have bought for 80 and now it's selling for 140.
I know. Same here. Same with me, man. I look at some of the deals we wholesaled like 2, 3, 4 years ago and I'm like kind of kicking myself. But, dude, you know, man, you make money and you move on. And that's why I think it's important to really have, and we've talked about this on previous shows, is really having your finger on the pulse pivoting when you need to and just making sure that, you know, you have different tools in your tool belt so that you have different exit strategies at your disposal. It's not always having to wholesale if that's your primary model, you know?
Right. Of course. You know, I'm trying to learn a little bit now. I think you do some of it, some wholesaling, getting a wholesale, then you list on MLS. Actually, I'm starting to get a little more into that.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. A good friend of mine, you probably know him, Ray Gonzalez. He's also here in Miami, Raymond.
What's the name of his company?
Summit Home Buyers, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Ramon, Raymond. So yeah, man, I actually, I recently interviewed him here for the show and it's going to be released pretty soon here. And we talk a lot about wholesaling.
Nice.
Yeah, man. So definitely like check it out. But yeah, if you have money or if you have access to private money, wholesaling, which is basically a combination of wholesale and retail, is fantastic because, you know, there's buyers out there that have cash and are willing to pay 85, 90 cents in the dollar. It tends to work better when the property is in a decent area and it doesn't need a lot of repairs and work. But yeah, so if you have access to private money or your own money, it's a fantastic strategy.
Yeah, definitely. The reason I started, you know, trying to learn about it is because, you know, probably in today's market in general, deals are getting a little bit slimmer. So, you know, you just got to capitalize on each and every deal the most possible. You know, before, wholesale deals would come a little bit easier. You make 5 here, 10 here. But now it's like it's a lot harder to come across. It costs at least me a lot more money to find the good deals. Yeah. I'm sure to you, too. It probably takes a little more mail, a little more offers than before.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to really capitalize on the profit that you can make on it.
You know, man, in 2015, I know we were having to spend about, I think it was like in 2014, we were having to spend about $1,600, $1,700 in direct mail to get a deal. And then in 2015, it jumped up to like $2,200, $2,300 to get a deal. And this year, we're like hovering close to $3,000 in direct mail to get a deal. Granted, our average profit per transaction has, and I've talked about this on another show, is last year it was like just under $13,000. And this year it's closer to 20. So we're making a lot more, but we're also having to spend more. And I think it's what you said, man. There's a lot of competition. Inventory's tight and wholesale margins are getting slimmer, at least here.
Yeah. Yeah. The good thing about the market is if you find a good deal, you'll find a buyer to pay top dollar way faster than last year, let's say.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, so it kind of balances out, but you know, it makes you grow a couple of gray hairs when you're like sending the mail and like, damn, I'm spending more money. But
bro, wait a second, man. You're 23. There's no way you got gray hair.
Dude, a ton of gray hairs, man. A ton, bro.
Oh, man. That's awesome, dude. So, hey, talk to me, man. So 2 years ago, you got started. You have a team now, 5-6 people. You know how long it took me to get a team of 5-6 people? It's like you're crushing, bro. Like I was in corporate America at your age, man. So that's, you know, it's awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's awesome that, you know, you've gotten to this point in such a short amount of time. And you talked about it. I think one of the first things is, you know, we don't have to harp on it because everybody knows the importance of getting a mentor, but very few people actually pony up and do it. And number two, like what would you say is the biggest thing that got you from, I guess, point A to point B in such a short amount of time, aside from hiring a mentor?
Consistency, playing out consistency, man. When I, you know, sending offers and talking to people, like cannot give up.
Yeah.
That was my mentality from the start. The mentor shows me all the technical aspects of it, you know, and what to do to not lose, you know, what offers to make, et cetera. But now, you know, once you get that information, it's what you do with it that can drive you to the next level, you know? And it, for me, it was just, no matter how many times I would fail, I would just go and go and go and go. I would not stop. And to this day, I still don't stop, you know?
Yeah, it's a mentality, man. It's for a lot of people, they don't realize that. I think so many people focus on the technical aspect of this business. Like they're constantly in learning mode. I think if they just kind of stopped and analyzed the situation, the education is going to come from the doing. And I think, you know, that's a big takeaway that I hope, you know, anybody listening in, it resonates with them, is hire a mentor and then just go, like, just, you know, fail forward and just make it happen.
Exactly. Yeah. So like now when I tell some of my students is, you know, real estate is huge, right? You know, you got residential, commercial, you got leasing, you got renting, you got fix and flip, wholesale, hotel. There's a ton of things you can do in real estate.
Right.
But what I tell them is you want to be successful, focus on one thing first. You know, when you get there, you'll see farther. I think Matt Terrio says that. So your primary focus, I'm going to give you all the tools and, you know, I'm sure you give them all the tools. Find the first deal. Put a deal in the contract. Focus all your efforts on that. Forget about buyers. Forget about, you know, anything else. Just focus on finding that one deal. Do anything it takes. Do not stop until you get something under contract. You know, obviously that makes sense, but do not stop. And then from there, you'll start learning. You know, now it's like, okay, what do I do? And that's the good part about having a mentor. You know, you could have someone to ask, but you have to have that mindset, you know, like figure out the rest later. Just focus on boom, you know, what's it going to take to get that deal?
You nailed it, man. I'm working with a new student now. He's in the Maryland, D.C. area. And, you know, he was asking me questions about the closing, like finding a closing attorney and the settlement statement. And I'm like, I'm like, brother, let's rewind. Like, let's working together. We're going to focus on steps 1, 2, and 3, marketing, lead generation, sending offers, following up, building relationships, like just focus on those core things and forget about all the other crap later, because you're putting the cart before the horse. Like that stuff, you're going to learn it and it's important. But if you don't have leads coming in, if you're not sending offers, if you're not consistently following up, and that's the operative word that you just talked about, consistency, then forget about that crap, because you're not going to make any money.
Exactly. Makes perfect sense.
So 5 to 7 deals, what's the makeup? I know, you know, you talked about you hit the MLS, you know, you do direct mail. What's the split, the percentage of private seller deals that you do versus the ones that are through an agent or through one of the online auction sites?
Right. So private sellers right now, I just started sending a little bit more mail. It's, you hit on the nail on the head as we were talking about the mail and how much you had to send. So I just started increasing now. So I've been doing like about one deal a month with mail and the rest through MLS and auctions.
Okay. Got it. Is there a particular list when it comes to direct mail? Because as you know, I'm pretty big on direct mail as well. Is there a particular list that you found has worked really well for you? I mean, are you kind of zigging when other people zag, or like what are you?
Dude, believe it or not, the absentee owner list still works for me very well.
Yep.
It's, I mean, I know it's like cliche and a lot of people use it, but I guess it just depends on how you, you know, move forward with the leads. You know, leads will come in to whatever list you send, you know. Okay. You just have to be the most persistent and, you know, I guess creative when it comes to it.
Yeah, let's do a little bit of a deep dive here, if you don't mind sharing, man, as far as the direct mail. So you're hitting an absentee list. What kind of mail piece are you sending to them?
I'll start usually with a postcard.
Okay.
Pretty much like a postcard that says like urgent notice, you know, property. Right. You know, one of those postcards.
Right.
Actually, I tried yours, the white one that you had.
The property notification one?
Yeah, man, that one got some crazy results.
Yeah, and actually, I appreciate you mentioning that. I can't even take credit for that, man. That's a buddy of mine, which I'm sure you know, Chris Chico. He's also here. He's in the Broward County area.
Yeah, I've spoken to him a few times.
Yeah, man, Chris is a great guy. He was on episode 1. If you guys haven't checked it out, if you go to flipempire.com/episode1, listen to it. And then if you go to flipempire.com/postcard, you can actually download that postcard that Raul's talking about now. It's basically, the idea behind that card is that it's a blind message, meaning that it doesn't specifically talk about their house or anything like that. And man, the first time Chico told me about it, and I'm like, well, dude, send it over. Let me test it out. I think I sent out like, I don't know, man, 3,000-4,000 pieces, and we got like a 22-23% response rate. I mean, my lead managers were following up for weeks.
Yeah, dude, that's the same thing. I mean, that card produces a lot of calls. You get a lot of angry calls.
Yeah, you do.
But hey, it's good to get the phone numbers in the system, man, and put them on the follow up. Eventually, they'll call back. You know,
you know what I found, man, with that property notification is that, yeah, you're right. You're going to get a lot of people pissed off. You're going to get a lot of like curiosity, but the net effect of the people that have interest in selling their house is still greater than the 2% response rate you would get if you sent out a regular type postcard. At least that was our experience. It requires, like, if you're the one, here's what I would suggest about that card. And again, if you guys want to check it out, flipempire.com/postcard, if you're going to use that card and you're the one, like, you know, the calls are going, hopefully they're not going to your cell phone and you have it going to whether it's a live operator or you have somebody processing the calls, do it in like batches. And I think that's kind of a perfect tie-in to what we were just talking about with consistency. I always recommend, you know, students I work with, make sure that you have campaigns going out every single week versus kind of blowing your wad on one campaign for the month. And then, you have a bunch of leads come in during the week, but the other 2, 3, 4 weeks, you know, you got nothing coming in.
Yeah, it's very important. A big mistake I made in the beginning was I sent a lot of mail and spent some money, and I didn't have anything to put the leads in. So, example, Podio. You know, you don't have to use Podio, but that's what I use, and I find it really helpful. It just get like any type of software to, or any kind of system to put your leads, their names, their address, some tasks, or, you know, some comments about the property, because you're going to end up forgetting. I had everything on paper. I leave the paper in my car, and then I'm on the phone, and then it just became a mess. I didn't remember who to follow up with. I didn't know what appointment to go on. So very important. Just get any type of little system or an Excel sheet, you know, whatever it's easier, and just, you know, write their name, their phone numbers, their address, you know, a little comment about the house.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you, man. Like, get a CRM. You know, I use, we use Podio, and we also use FreedomSoft for some of the other things. So either one of those are great, but don't overcomplicate it and don't spend all this time trying to get into the nitty gritty of the system and the automation.
Right.
Like, I would rather you, like, whip up an Excel spreadsheet and just track everything there, as long as you're like consistently sending out mail, you're following up. And most importantly, like, I want to challenge you. And I think I talked about this, I forget on what episode, one of the Q&A's is set a goal to at least send 5 offers a day. When you got started, how many offers on average were you sending out every week?
I was sending about 30 offers a week.
There you go. And how long did it take? Like, forget about the rental property, but I guess your first wholesale deal, how quickly did that come once you started sending offers?
It took me, well, I was a newbie, all right? And it took me, like I said, it took me like 2 months to get a mentor. So from start of like, I'm going to do wholesale to, you know, everything, it took me 3 months to get my first deal.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the other thing is sometimes people get into this business and they have like false expectations, and like their expectation is to do a deal like in the first couple of weeks. Like, can that happen? Yeah, it's possible. But is it likely? Probably not. You know what I mean? So it's just a matter of being consistent, sending offers, following up. And then, like we talked about, every single week you got campaigns going out. So walk us through now. You hit the absentee list. You're doing you're sending out a postcard. What direct mail house are you using?
Yellowletters.com.
Okay, Yellow Letters. So they send it out for you. You're using Podio, so the lead comes in. What's your follow-up system look like? I mean, do you have somebody right now on your team processing the leads?
Yeah, so I have my secretary. She answers the calls.
Okay.
And then she'll process them, you know, get their information. And then she'll, if it meets certain criteria, then she'll just give it to the acquisitions manager as like a task.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Then he'll go from there, set the appointment, you know, or give him a soft offer, whatever the case may be.
Okay.
And yeah, through there.
So you obviously, we both know that whenever we market, the majority of the leads are not going to be motivated. What's kind of the process that you guys take with the people that are just fishing? They're testing the market. They're not even sure they want to sell. They're curious, or they even want retail, or maybe even more. Like, what do you do with those leads?
Right. So I recently, I want to say like 2 months ago, I got the new Podio system from these people called Investor Fuse.
Yeah, Dan Schwartz.
I don't know if you've heard of them.
Yeah.
Dan Schwartz's system. And so they have it like very well set up. You know, like if it's not a motivated lead, there's like a follow-up system that they have. It sends like 24 messages within the year to them, emails, texts, and stuff. So pretty much I just follow those instructions. But, you know, maybe for somebody starting out that doesn't have that program, you know, pretty much if you're not motivated, just set your own little criteria. Maybe to follow up with them once a month, or send them a text once a month, or a voicemail blast. But you got to touch them all the time. I think, well, you know, the sales stats are, you know, 70% of sales come from the 8th to the 12th touch.
That's right.
So you got to make sure you're constantly touching them, no matter if they're interested now or later. You got to always be either sending them texts, or, you know, call them, set a little reminder on your phone to call them every month for the whole year.
Yeah.
Something like that, man.
Yeah. And kind of like the best analogy I can think of is like, you know, a fighter or a boxer. You know, if you get in the ring and you just throw jab, 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 like eventually your opponent's going to just start kind of bobbing and weaving. But like if you mix in the uppercut, the hook, you know, the overhand, like, and that's what you want to do with your follow up. You don't want to just always be calling or always emailing or always texting, like use all these different tools that we have at our disposal. And like you said, man, it's again, you, I couldn't have said it better, is you want to touch these people constantly on a weekly, monthly basis. And ideally, you want to do it so that your system is doing a lot of the heavy lifting. But
yeah, you
know, if you're just getting started, just start simple with phone calls, text messages, and hopefully you're collecting emails as well. And then eventually, once you kind of graduate to that next step, you can incorporate, you know, text campaigns and you know, sly broadcast. I mean, we have it set up in Podio with like, basically, the click of a button, it'll drop a voicemail into the seller system following up with them.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
we do that too. We do like, see, we'll change it up. We'll do that once a month, then we'll do a text message, then we'll do, we'll live call, and, or, you know, we'll send them a piece of mail. You know, you got to just get creative, you know?
Yeah.
As long as you touch them, that's what's the important part.
Exactly. And what are you doing? So right now you said that for the people that I guess have motivation, your secretary setting up an appointment for your acquisitions manager to go meet with them.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, you talked about a soft offer. Can you kind of like elaborate a little bit on what that means and what, like, how do they determine when to do a soft offer versus go for a close? Or
so usually we'll do a soft offer when the seller's like from out of town. Okay. If I can't meet with them in person, or the acquisitions manager can't meet with them in person, you know, we'll set an appointment to go see the house if it's vacant or occupied. And then that's what I consider a soft offer, is not in person, you know, because we don't have the availability to do so. Mm-hmm. So we'll be with them on the phone and we'll negotiate it with some of the contracts, et cetera.
Okay. So are you like, is there any specific scenario that determines, or that you guys have trained your acquisitions manager? Like, how do they know when to do a soft offer? Is it just based on the fact that they're out of town, or if it's, you know, they're asking within a certain range of the after repaired value?
If they're around 80% of after repair value, then we'll usually try to feel them out with a soft offer.
Okay.
Got it. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. So, you know, if the house is 100 and they, you know, they want 80, we'll try to like start feeling them out with a soft offer. And if they bite, you know, we go on the appointment right away.
Yeah. And I like to, you know, like our lead managers, they do the same thing. I've trained at least my lead managers. What tends to work for us is that I don't want them trying to like do a deal. I just want them to identify motivation. And what we've even done over the course of the last 3 months is I told my lead managers, I said, I need you guys to get more aggressive with setting up appointments for our acquisitions manager. And I said, you know, obviously they're trained to like have an ear out for motivation and ask certain questions that are going to help determine the seller's motivation. But if there's motivating factors, right, if they're telling you things that that lead you down the path of believing that this person's motivated, but the price they're asking doesn't reflect that, what we've shifted to doing a couple of months ago is I said, screw it, forget about the price. If there's motivation and there's pain, set up an appointment, because
go see it.
My belief is that our acquisitions manager, if he gets in front of that seller, our chances significantly increase of coming to an agreement and doing a deal with that seller versus just blindly sending them a lowball offer, which might piss them off.
100%. So my acquisitions manager is fairly new, started with me like 2 months ago. So what I told them is, let's make appointments on everything. I don't care if they want retail. I don't care if they want a million, the house is worth 100. Let's go meet with them. And so I can show you how to speak to them, you know, how we can try to talk them down. The best deals, I'm sure you know, Alex, the best deals have been done face to face, always in the history of life. If you go buy your car in a car dealer, you're not going to do it over the phone. You know, you're going to go and negotiate the payment, the this, that. So you got to meet with them in person.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's better than being bored in the office. Might as well just go and meet with them. And doing that, I've got another referral business. They're like, look, you know, obviously your price is lower than what I want, but my cousin or my sister-in-law, or whatever, she wants to sell her house. And I've got a referral business that way. So it's good to meet with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things we always do is, whether we're able to do the deal with the person or not, we always ask them if they have any other real estate that they might be interested in selling, or if they know somebody that has any property that they might be. And that, I think that leads right into your point about the referral business. It's just about building rapport with them. You build a relationship and then you ask for a referral. We always do that. And man, every year we probably pick up an extra two or three deals just off of like, oh yeah, I have this other property, or oh yeah, I know of XYZ person that might be selling.
Yeah, right. There you go. Yeah, because remember, these sellers, they don't know the business, like our business per se. So sometimes they think they're like, oh, maybe he just wants to buy one house. But yeah. So you got to tell them, no, I'm here to buy them all. I want to buy all the houses, you know?
Right. What's the, you said you have the secretary, you have an acquisitions person, you have a salesperson, you said you have a runner. Can you talk a little bit about how your, like the compensation structure for your team?
All right. So the MLS acquisitions, I have one guy doing just MLS acquisitions and then this guy doing the MLS, I'm sorry, not MLS, the direct mail and stuff.
Yeah.
I give him 20% of profits.
Okay. And is that of gross? Is that of net?
Of net.
Okay.
And then same for the MLS guy. Mm-hmm. And then the runner is a salary. You know, pay him, I think we're paying him like $10 an hour now.
Basically, what's a runner? Is it just somebody that, you know, whenever you need something done, they hit the road and they go do it?
Right. You know, like, hey, go take pictures of this house. Go, you know, send these papers to the city. You know, because at this point, we have our own little projects that we're doing on the side and stuff. Mm-hmm. So he helps with that. Kind of like a project manager, I guess, is a better word for it.
Yeah.
Better name for it.
Got it.
Yeah, so he'll be, you know, driving around, taking pictures for me, going to the city, dropping off documents, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Okay, cool. And then, so they get 20%. And what about your secretary?
A salary. Okay. But I give her incentives if she makes appointments. So every appointment that she makes, I'll give her an extra $10.
Yep.
Every deal that we close through the leads, she gets $100 mm-hmm. extra. You know, stuff like that. I give her little incentives to keep her motivated to, you know, keep calling the people back and.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting things done.
We do the same exact thing. And one thing, if you know, that one kind of tip I'd like to share with everybody, if you're building a team or if you have a team, is that not everybody is always motivated by money, believe it or not. You know, sometimes, and I'll give you an example, sometimes a $50 or $100, you know, gift certificate to their favorite restaurant or booking a cruise for them that might cost you $700-$800 or even $1,000, that might motivate them more and get them more excited than, you know, giving them cash. That might be more, you know, does that make sense? So they might appreciate a cruise that costs $700 more than $1,000 in cash. They might appreciate a $50 gift certificate to their favorite restaurant more than $100 in cash. And this is not a lot. This is not everybody. So you have to, you know, understand what makes your team tick, but it's just a tip that I've found throughout the years is that, you know, hopefully you've built good relationships with your team members and you kind of know what motivates them and what doesn't.
Right. And also the people you work with. So I do that with like the title company we use, like the, you know, the title processors. I know they like beer, so I'll get them beer like on a Friday or, you know, they like croquetas, so I'll get them croquetas on like Monday, you know? Yeah. You got to keep everybody in the team happy, you know? And, pay it forward.
You know what's funny, man? I can imagine there might be like somebody in Idaho. Who knows Idaho? I don't know. Ohio. Or somewhere like, or even some like, I don't know, man. Somebody maybe on the West Coast and they're like, what the hell is a croqueta?
I don't even know how to describe that.
I don't know, man.
It's just a little thing filled with great, I don't know what it is.
Ham, yeah. So anybody that's never been to Miami, if you come to Miami, go to like a Cuban bakery or like just pretty much go anywhere and ask for a croqueta and you'll
see. You have to. It's a must.
Yeah, exactly. That's funny, man. So, hey, dude, I want to spend maybe another 5, maybe 10 minutes max here and we'll kind of start to wind down. I want to get a little bit into the MLS. Can you kind of talk about, do you have a specific system set up to go and figure out what properties you want to go after on the MLS, like the your offerings, like how do you go about sending offers? Because I know, like, you know, and the reason I ask is internally, we've kind of discussed different ways to become more efficient because in the past we still do to a certain degree. We'll use FreedomSoft, right? And we'll export a list of properties from the MLS. We'll import it and, you know, we'd send out a bunch of offers and we'd get a gazillion emails back for highest and best, and you got to fill out this package and this paperwork. Can you kind of talk about your system when it comes to MLS?
Yeah. So that's the reason I ended up getting somebody just to do the MLS, you know, acquisitions, because man, it's takes forever. it's very tedious. You know, you get, like you said, you get the highest and best And the reason that it's difficult and you need to have someone that knows, because you're dealing with a professional on the other side. You're dealing with a realtor, broker, you know, an agent, someone that knows what they're doing. So it's not like a direct seller that you can kind of just get away with a couple things. So basically what we do is that every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we will create a hot sheet. And I trained the acquisitions guy to with my criteria. You know, okay, I like everything under $250,000. Mm-hmm. You know, these are the areas I look for. You know, I'm looking for X percent return. If it's a fix and flip, if it's a rental, I'm looking for X percent. Like that, it's pretty much pre-done. And, you know, we've gotten to the point that now if we get a deal that meets in that criteria and we don't sell it, we'll close on it. Which I think is very important when you're dealing with MLS. You know, I mean, you burn bridges real fast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You don't want to get blackballed. So you don't want to be somebody that develops a reputation for locking up properties with an agent. Like that's the, you want to piss off an agent, lock up a property and then don't close on it or, you know, like.
Or like never answer them again or whatever.
Yeah. Don't go ghosting on them and not getting back to them. Like keep the lines of communication open and they don't even like it if you're within your inspection period. So I don't say that to scare you from going after MLS deals. But like you said, Raul, you're dealing with a professional. You're not dealing with like it's just a different approach and conversation when you're dealing with an agent versus a private seller.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a bad way to get deals. It's just you should be a little bit more educated, perhaps like go through like the realtor course so you learn about MLS and learn about agents and rules and laws. I would do that before you dabble in it.
Yeah. Okay, so you got this hot sheet Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You have certain criteria. Then kind of walk us through it from there.
All right. So we'll get the properties. We'll analyze them, and I have a VA, and he's the one that sends my offers. So I have the contracts pre-done on FreedomSoft already, the Florida Bar contracts, and I'll send them the address. I'll send them the link to the hot sheet, the address, and the offer, and he'll make the offer and send them out to the agents.
Let me pause for a quick second. Are you personally like going one by one and running comps, figuring out what to offer? Or do you have like what's the kind of the process that you guys are going through to figure out what you should offer? Because, man, we're in the same area. So many of these properties in the MLS, they're pretty damn close to retail. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, well, we've been doing it for a few years. So, you know, now like you see it and you see the price. I kind of know like right away, OK, you know, that doesn't really make much sense, you know, based on the areas and zip codes. But yeah, for the most part, it's one by one, you know, looking at comps and doing all that. That's why I got the sales guy, the acquisitions guy, just to do that, you know, all day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yep.
And then, so it'll go through the VA, just send the offer on FreedomSoft. And then, you know, on FreedomSoft, you can kind of like put CC the email that it's coming from, and then it'll be his email. And he's a realtor, so he just gets all the leads back from the agents. And then it goes from there. So it's calling the back or answering the highest and best or doing this, doing that.
Yeah. And so don't get, if you're listening in, like, you know, I think it's important to highlight and kind of circle back to one of the first things that we were talking about is focus on one thing, right? If you haven't read the book, The One Thing by Gary Keller, you know, right when you finish listening to this podcast, jump on Amazon and order it, or the link will be in the show notes page here. Definitely get that book. So don't feel overwhelmed with the fact that I want to do direct mail and I want to do the MLS and I want to do this and I want to do that. Pick one thing, perfect it, and pour all of your time, energy, and resources into that. Once you get that dialed up and producing for you, then move on to the next marketing channel or to the next thing. Because like you said, with the MLS, it's a little bit of a different animal. That's not to overwhelm you or to scare you from jumping into it, because we've made a ton of money off of MLS deals and REOs and all that, but it's a little different than dealing with a private seller for sure.
Yeah. You just need some education. You know, it's not the most difficult thing. You just have to know pretty much what you're doing. You know, you have to know every little nuance in the contracts. If it's a Fannie Mae deal, you got to know what contracts to fill out for them. You know how complicated it could be. Their contracts are like 30 pages or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're doing like auctions, you got to know, you know, when to close. And it's just, there's so many things, but it's not that scary. You just got to learn about it. You know, I wouldn't jump into it without knowing anything, because you can get in trouble.
I got you, man. I got you. So look, let's get you out of here on this, and we're gonna kind of let's put a bow on the podcast here. I don't know. I know you. We were talking about it before, man. I know that you've heard the show in the past, and you've probably heard me ask. I always like to ask the expert. In your case, I'm gonna have to modify it. I usually ask the expert I have on is, you know, what's the one piece of advice you would give your 25-year-old self? So in this case, I don't know. Do I say what's the one piece of advice you'd give your 15-year-old self? I don't know if that makes sense. But I guess a couple years ago, man, you got started 2-3 years ago, and I know now you're working with people, and so you've kind of, you know, you've gotten good at working with the newbie, you know, the person that is looking to get started. Right. I guess let's focus your advice on that person, the person that's maybe they've done a few deals, but they're just struggling, like. Aside from the mindset shift and getting right. a mentor, maybe that's the answer. I don't know. But is there anything else you'd tell them about how you got to where you are now?
So, like I mentioned before, consistency is huge. That's what's pretty much catapulted me. And another thing is just, you know, take massive action. Do not wait. You know, a lot of people be like, oh, you know, I'll order the letters tomorrow or, you know, I'll make the offer tomorrow. No, do not wait because other people like me and you are going to take that deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you've read the book by Grant Cardone, The 10X Rule.
Oh, yeah.
Great book. I highly recommend it. You know, take massive, massive, massive action. Do things that you would never think of doing, you know. Go on appointments you would never go on. Do things, you know, do things extraordinary. Because like that, you get extraordinary results.
Yeah, yeah. You know, this will be the last thought and we'll hop out of here. But if you really want to push yourself and put yourself in a position to succeed, and taking action for you is a challenge, or you tend to procrastinate, put yourself out there. So what do I mean? An example is if you want to lose weight, take a picture with your shirt off and put it on Facebook and say, I'm going to lose this amount of weight by this day. Because now you've put yourself in an environment where you have to succeed without looking like a failure. Nobody wants to look like a failure, right?
Right. Right.
Another, I remember, you know, years ago, I wanted to get involved with internet marketing and I wanted to get in the info business. And this is actually an extension of that. But I remember I hired a mentor, and one of the things he told me is, he goes, write a check for 10 grand and drop it in the mail and date it today. No, I'm sorry. He said, date it. I forgot what I had a call with him, and there was like an action item and I had to do something by a certain day. And he goes, right. Here's the follow-up action item. I want you to write a check to me for 10 grand. And, or maybe he said, write a check to somebody you hate for 10 grand. I forget what it was, but basically I had to send this dude a check for 10 grand with this date. And I had to be honest with him. If I didn't do what I had to get done, he was going to cash it, or it was going to get, man. And I did it, obviously. Like, you know, so it's all about creating an environment in which you're, you know, you have to perform, you have to take action. So I want to challenge you, you know, if you've kind of been sitting on your hands, you know, one way to get your ass up and running is to create that environment that forces you to take that action that, you know, you need to take.
Yeah. And another important thing, man, is write down the goals. A lot of people are like, you know, that's bullshit, whatever. Write them down. Write them down on a paper, your own handwriting. Date it, you know, for 6 months, a year, 3 months, whatever you want. You know, make goals big, okay? Don't say, if you're making 10,000, don't say, I want to make 20. No. If you're making 10, I want to make 200. I want to make 1,000,000, you know? Make them huge and then go for it. Do anything it takes to get to those goals. And even if you underachieve, if you set them high enough, you're still going to overachieve above the rest.
Yep. Yep, exactly, man. Hey, brother, man, it's been great reconnecting with you and having you on the podcast here, man. Best place to connect with you, I think your site is capitalriseinvestments.com.
Yeah, there you have all my information, my email, phone number. Best place to connect.
Okay, awesome, bro. Well, hey, man, let's definitely continue to stay in contact. Let's not lose touch. And who knows,
yeah,
man, maybe we'll connect on a deal soon.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate you having me on here.
All right, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Later, guys. And everybody, I look forward to catching you on the next Q&A coming up. It's going to be released this Thursday, and then next week's Masterclass Expert Interview. Make sure to tune in, and I'll catch you on the next show. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.